Thank you, Pastor. Thank you so much. Good afternoon. Good evening, everybody. You are having a bonus. Do we look alike? Okay, I'm the shorter version. I've been the shortest in the family since my girls were P6. My husband is tall. So confirm plus chop. thank you so much for having us this evening. Today we are speaking on choosing to serve. Sometimes it's hard to serve, right? So on what basis and why and how can we maintain this fire of service, not just individually, but as a family? So today we are very happy to be able to be with you this afternoon to share, I think, our journey. So let me first introduce our family. So so on the slide you see this is my firstborn with whom I'm well pleased.
Yeah. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, amen. Yeah, she's 22. My her sister, my younger one, is in poly. She's 19. I've been married to my husband Albert for 27 years. You know, after a while we forget, right? Yeah. Okay. So, and when I was given the theme for this year for WSCS on service, next slide. And I thought it's very interesting because I have this verse at the door. Okay. In my family, I really believe that we need visual reminders. Otherwise we forget, right? Every day when we come home, this is the verse that they see at the door. Right? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Putting on the door, not enough. When they leave the house, also must see the verse, right? So the next slide. Super kiasu parent, right? So this is inside, before they leave the house, this is also there. This is where do we put this?
So this is near where we put our shoes because we need to wear it before we leave the house. And really to set the visual reminder for all of us also.
Yeah. But seriously, the context of this verse, if we could bring on to the next slide, where it says, Nicole, would you like to read Joshua 24:15?
Joshua 24:15, and if it's evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the God your father served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
Amen. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We often see this verse, right? Either as bookmark or on a mark, and in my case, double at the door, inside and outside of the home. The context of this verse, Joshua was saying with much urgency that you need to make a choice. You need to make a choice. Who are we serving? And this is something that I bear in my heart, because even as me, declare this, I say, as for me and my house. I always remind myself that for my children, okay, it cannot be just mommy say so, therefore you need to serve the Lord. I always remember that I pray that she and her sister, as well as my husband, will be willing to serve the Lord out of their love for God. So, but if to set the context a little bit more, okay, if we go to the next slide, I also want to set the context from a larger perspective, that even as we are called to serve, just now when we were singing, I'm made to worship, right? I'm made to worship, Lord. But what is the larger story that all of us here in this century that we are in? And this is set in the whole book of the Bible, right? Of the 66 books in the Bible. And we know that there are four main parts. So Nicole, would you like to share about God's grand story?
So I think most of us will not be unfamiliar with this, but as we look at God's grand story, I think we can really appreciate what God has been doing for all this time. And we know that it's not just limited to the time that we are in right now. And I think we all know that God created in the beginning and he used his word and he said that it was good. When he created us, he said it was very good. And yet, not all was smooth sailing because of human decision. Then there was the fall. But God says that's not the end of the story. And we continue on throughout the Bible. We start to see how God is good, how God is faithful, how God is very merciful also. And we get to this point after 400 years when people are just wondering, what are you saying, God? And Jesus comes into the picture. Jesus is their Redeemer. Jesus is our Redeemer. And we see that He is redemptive. And we see Him on the cross. But then again, the cross is not the end of the story. And we all know this. 3 days later, Jesus is risen. And it's surprising because the women are the first ones to go and tell about the news, which I think is a little fun and interesting part that God uses women as well. And as we continue on and throughout the early church, throughout all the things that are happening, that there is restoration that will come one day and there is hope for all of us.
Amen. The theme of God's grand story is really about restoration. So if I could go to the next slide and refer to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 to 20. Okay, let's read God's word together, shall we? Ready? 1, 2, 3. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to Himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making His appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. What are some repeated words that you see in these three verses? Reconcile. What does reconcile mean? Okay, if we go back to the previous slide with the picture. When sin came into the world, our relationship with our Father was broken. But because God loved us so much, Jesus came in flesh, died on the cross for us, and our relationship with God is made right. We have been reconciled with our Father. But is that all? Very often we end on the third act of the Bible. We have been reconciled. Very good. God, Jesus died for us. Jesus is going to be with us when we are in times of trouble, when we are tired. God will come and build us up. You know, is that it? Is that, are we saved so that we can live the life that we want only? Or is there more to it? Right? And so we must remember, I always often remind us and our family that actually our purpose is to fulfill and take part in the restorative work that God has started when He sent Jesus to die on the cross for us. The timeline of this story is still running. We haven't reached the end of the story yet. So all of us, our lives, we all have our own stories. Individually, as a family, we have our story. But our story, each one of us, is nested in God's grand story. And our story has the same theme. And what is that theme? It starts with R. Reconciliation. Yeah, we have been reconciled so that we can reconcile others. If you go to the next slide with the verse. Okay, so we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. Okay, He has entrusted to us. He has entrusted this ministry, right? And therefore we are ambassadors for Christ. What is an ambassador?
An ambassador knows all things about his own country in the same way that an ambassador for Singapore would go overseas and you know all about the country, you know the language, you can answer questions that people have.
So actually, what is our ultimate citizenship?
So our ultimate citizenship is in heaven, and we know that this is a time that we are passing through because we know where we will be going in the end.
So therefore, to be a good ambassador, we need to know our stuff. So we need to know and represent Christ well by knowing what heaven is like. When people see us, they should see like, oh, this is what representing Christ. This is what a Christian, this is what having God as our Savior and a Father can be like. Right? And so that is our purpose. We have been saved. We have been reconciled so that we can reconcile others. Next slide. If I illustrate it a little bit more, it's a little bit like this. Okay? Do you recognize this painting? Oh yeah, I already put it there as a caption, right? It's Michelangelo. This is a wonderful painting that is in the Sistine Chapel. It was painted in 1500s, right? For many, many years, Michelangelo. And it's in the ceiling. It's not like in front. It's upside down. I don't know how he did it that time. Okay? But over the centuries, okay, there were layers of dust on it. And in the 1980s, there was extensive restorative work to remove the layers of dust with the latest technology at that time so that they can review how majestic the painting was. And the next slide shows what it looks like after restoration. This is what we are called to do, all of us as brothers and sisters, regardless of which generation we are. We are called to restore God's beautiful masterpiece in this world that has been tainted by sin. It's like a virus that's going on with sin. But all of us are called with the gifts and talents and whatever position that God has placed us in. We are called to restore so that people can see, wow, this is God's wonderful design for family, for marriage, for sexuality, and how we use even technology, for example. Okay? So I thought visually, that's what restoration can be like. That's what reconciliation in relationships can be like. So I would now draw us to even closer to home, in our own family. Let me share with you a personal story. Okay, if I go to the next slide. This is me. Can you recognize? This is me when I was about 17. I was a bit vain, very rebellious. Go to school, must have matching shoelace with my school color. Okay, yeah, so I am the one on the left at that age. Even though I was raised in a Christian home, I went to a mission primary school. But at that time, I walked away from church. I remember my parents would drive me and my brother and sister, my younger brother and sister, to church, and I would refuse to get out of the car. What would you do if you drive your children to church and they refuse to get out of the car? What would you do? Smile, lah. Just smile. I remember my dad was telling my mom, it's okay, lah. It's okay. They knew me very well because I was very rebellious. I'm very thankful that she's not like that. Praise the Lord. And I walked away from God for, and that stint in the wilderness was 20 years. In that 20 years, I married into a Taoist family. At some point in our marriage, my husband was a Thai Buddhist. You know, Thai Buddhists, they have amulets. My husband used to have multiple amulets. And he would leave me with the young children at that time and fly to Thailand to pray in the temple. But very thankfully, God brought me back when I was pregnant with my younger daughter. And 3 years later, my husband was saved. Very thankfully, we were able to raise children who knew God. There are some things that wives can do, and actually there are many things that wives cannot do for our husband. You know, there are some things, for example, I cannot tell my husband too much. The more I tell him about God, the more he was resentful. And so it was a little bit difficult at first. But thank God, he saved my husband 3 years later. And if I could go to the next slide. Not this one, previous one. Yes, the picture on the right is Nicole when she was around the same age as me on the left picture. Nicole, you want to tell them about what that picture is about?
So this is very briefly around the time where I was with my friends, and I think it was very easy for me to want to follow everybody else doing what they were doing. What they were doing is, in this mission school, we would have devotion every morning. We would be talking about God, and the teachers, the people in the school who, like, they do chapel for us, and they will be talking in the morning, and my friends on my left, right, front and back will all be sleeping. And there was just this day where I just couldn't stand it. Hey, actually, a lot of this is very interesting. So I took it into my own hands. I think the Lord was just go and do something. And I said, okay, sure. And my next thought was, what am I going to say? I'm 15. What are they going to listen to? And when I thought about it, then I went on this journey together with you, so thank you, on figuring out, and there are so many interesting things, what can we condense into something in 7:30 a.m. that at least most of the people would be looking up and actually being attentive. And we ended up talking, or I ended up talking about how the universe was created. And it was very simple. We shared something. It was probably in this kind of setting. We were done as what the picture showed you. And we went off to class. And we just continued on. I thought, hey, I just pat myself on the back. That was great. What I was not expecting was a classmate who came up to me. And this classmate was known by the rest of the people in the same batch as the sciencey guy. We split classes at 15, so then he was in a different class from me. But when he came up to discuss, we started talking about this topic. I was like, wow, like this really caught people's attention. And I don't know if you're sitting here listening to the story, you would have been expecting it might be a Christian, oh, that was like pretty interesting to hear. This was someone who wasn't exactly close to God yet. And we finished that conversation. We didn't agree on everything, but we went off. It was like recess and we had to go back to class. But I think what struck me was, hey, actually, there are things that can interest people. There are conversations that can be open. But this was a very clear reflection. I didn't really realize this at 15, but this is also a very clear example of how we can be restorative. We just talked about 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we just talked about we can do something in this world that we are in. It's not just for us to live through it privately, but there are things that we can do around us, conversations that we can have with people that will point them back to God.
Yeah, so that is her perspective. You want to hear the mommy's perspective? The mommy's perspective was she was given an opportunity to speak at assembly. So mummies usually will feel like, wow, very good, right? Wow, your daughter got a chance to speak in front of the whole school. And then when she told me the topic that she wanted to speak about, I want to challenge the school. Why do you believe what you believe? I'm like you, I also take a deep breath. Like, wow, so brave. And in that preparation process, I learned a lot because she was reading about, why do you believe, why are you a Christian? So if I ask you now, why are you a Christian? What would you say? Huh? He's my savior. On what basis is he your savior? He's your healer. Okay, because you are healed. Amen. So if you ask the same question to young people, teenagers, what do you think they would ask you? Okay, we can have this conversation after this, right? Like, where does the world come from? Is that a big bang? Like, did we evolve from monkeys? And so these are things that, you know, in the preparation, we were discussing. So the point of us sharing this story is to say that, you know, a lot of things that help us to be convinced of what is our job in this world, the restorative work, starts in the home in terms of having conversation, having a clarity of why are we believing what we're believing. Especially for me, because I was a backslider for 20 over years. And as I came back and I was trying to raise godly children, I realized I also don't know a lot of things because I lost 20 years of being a Christian. And then as we discussed some of these things, I grew, and in that process, we grow together as a family to discover how amazing God is. You know, if you're interested in Christian apologetics, do you know what is Christian apologetics? It's not that we need to apologize for being Christians, but is to understand what are some arguments that we can present to people that actually Christ exists, that Christianity is not just a blind faith religion, that there is evidence and God speaks to us in so many different ways. Yeah, so if you're interested, you can read up more about Christian apologetics. But this conversation sparked off, I think, that faith journey, as I think for Nicole, she was interested. And when she came back after sharing that assembly talk, and she told me about how this sciencey guy, is that word that you use? This sciencey guy was challenging her. Initially I thought, wow, she speak like that in front of whole school. And not everybody in the school is a Christian, right? She might be get bashed, right? You know, as a mommy, you tend to be a bit more productive, like, we want them to shine, but then also don't want them to get too hurt, like, right? So when she came back and shared with me, and she shared with me with this, like, you know, she's not afraid. Then we discussed, like, how do we answer him even better if there's a chance to, right? That her fearlessness, you know, actually encouraged me, like, wow, if a 15-year-old can be courageous, then how about me? And I think this iteration of intergenerational conversation, learning together, and just seeing how God is working in each one of our lives is just so encouraging for me. And I think it strengthened our individual walk and our walk together as a family. It convicted us so much, the next slide please, that we also started to do things for other girls and other mothers. You want to share a little bit more?
Yeah, so this started actually 2 years ago when we were very inspired by our own time together that we thought as a mother-daughter pair, we can do things to bless other pairs of moms and daughters. And that was exactly what we did in a retreat center every holidays, at least for the children. Then it motivates the moms also to come together to rest, take some time away from the very busy lives that all of us are living in. And true enough, when the moms and the daughters get time together, when we end off like the 3 days that we have with each other, they actually say, wow, I was very blessed to be able to spend time with my mom and my daughter, that we get to learn together some things that were being brought up that I've been having in my heart for very long that I wasn't able to bring across. But now that we get this time, this space to be able to talk about it in a lighthearted manner, and there's a lot of healing that takes place, especially when the young girls are with me also talking about things that happen at home.
Mm. The more we watch what's happening in culture, the more we look at how technology is shifting. And you know, science have shown that social media impact girls differently from boys at a very young age. I think our heart, and I see her heart also burdened for the younger generation. Sometimes she tells me she's very old. She's only 22, but she tells me she feels...
The kind of thing cannot say here.
Okay.
Between the two of us.
All right, okay. She feels very burdened for the twins, right? So for we do this for 11 to 14-year-old girls so that we start them off their womanhood journey with a healthy view of how God designed us to be and bringing the mummies along. And many a times, sometimes it saddened me that even at 11, 12, 13, 14, some of the girls already have a strained relationship with their moms. And when they come, it's our prayer and we work to restore the relationship. We do what we can to be part of this theme. Remember just now we talked about God's grand story. That theme is really about restoration and reconciliation. So that's what we're trying to do. So to summarize what we were sharing, I thought to just share with us some practical tips in 3S. Okay, so 3S to serving with joy as a family. So how do we maintain this fire? Not just choosing to serve, but we want to choose to serve with joy, no matter how tired we are, or sometimes, you know, how discouraging it could be, or how painful when we see what's happening in families. And so our encouragement is to seek the Lord individually and as a family. Seeking the Lord, to me, is about that desire to reach out to God, to learn more about God. The more that I reach out, you know, as we draw close to Him, He'll draw close to us. Right? And as He draw close to us, He revealed to us. He would give us His shalom peace. And as we do that individually, right, we also want to find time to do it as a family. So in our family, sometimes we would gather together to do family worship, to do Bible study together, or watch a video together. It is not very structured. Sometimes it's impromptu, you know, as the Spirit leads, I say, come, let's watch this together. And then we have a time of conversation, inviting the Holy Spirit with us. This balance of doing things individually, I think we need our own relationship with God to be built, especially for us, you know, raising second generation Christians. It was important that my children don't rely on my faith. Not that my faith is very strong in the first place because I was a backslider, but to draw them close to God so that God can take the lead and we give revelation directly to the children. So that balance of seeking God individually and as a family was something that we try our best to build into our family schedule, so to speak. It was easier when the children were younger, but now when they are more busy, now I need to book her time. Even for us to be here, I need to choke her time. Okay, number two. Go ahead. Number two.
But anyway, I was still very inspired by your faith. It's okay, I didn't see you as a backslider. Yeah.
Okay.
Number two is to study His Word and instill spiritual disciplines. And there are many spiritual disciplines that you would be able to find on Google. And you know this for yourselves also about reading the Word, about praying, worshipping as we did together this afternoon, fasting also. We've gone on our own journey to start fasting. My fasting journey started last year where I just fast for a day, 24 hours, and slowly we do this as a family, and she started fasting as well. And I think these different things, they add up. And I think when we do this, you see that difference in a week, in a month, in an entire year. And I just wanted to encourage you that there are different things as you keep walking in step with the Lord that Galatians 5 talks about, that there are different things that we can do to build up ourselves as we encourage the people around us, love the people around us. It starts from a strong foundation, and that's really in God. That's really in His Word, to keep building on that and growing in that discipline.
Amen. Do you want to hear the mommy version of it? The mummy version of it relating to fasting. Okay, so she was fasting for maybe a year before I fasted.
I just remember it was after CNY and it was very hard for me. So it was a year.
Okay. And she was telling me she wants to fast. I say, fast for how long? She said, don't know, I'll never end. Then I was like, okay. I was very challenged, but I was very mindful that I shouldn't just because I want to take up this challenge that I fast. I want to make sure that if I fast, it is something that God wants me to do. I don't want to just do it because I want to be better than my daughter. Right? Okay, she is better than me, lah. Okay, can I just confirm that? But I wanted to be sure that, you know, so I took time to pray and ask God, God, is this really what you want me to do? How long should I be fasting? You know, sometimes I give excuse to myself, you know, like at my age already, I need all the nutrients that I get. My calcium is getting weaker already, so I need to eat. How many of you also think, okay, I used to think like that, right? For a long time. So I prayed for a long time. Is this really what God you want me to do? Earlier this year, God told me, yes, you should. Then I asked God, how long? Is it 12 hours? Is it 24 hours? Is it 48 hours? You know, what kind of fast? Then I also pray very long. I don't want to just anyhow. Like, then I can just give any excuse. And then after that was which day? She fast on Monday. Then I got to plan on Monday. One person not at home to eat. I got to cook less. Then should I fast on the same day? Then two people don't eat. You know, all these mommy thoughts. But then as I seek the Lord, He gave me, like, I need to fast on Wednesday. Why Wednesday? Because I want to gain wisdom. So Wednesdays for me is wisdom Wednesdays. So that I can get wisdom. And as I started to fast, knowing that this is what God wants me to do, I find that fasting, if you haven't tried fasting on a regular basis, it is so powerful. You know, I've always heard people say fasting is very powerful. Yes, I have. I have experienced fasting, but not on a regular, like, don't know when to stop kind of basis. But when I started this spiritual habit, I realized that it's an alignment of the body, soul, and spirit. That when the, you know, we are created in the image of God, and God is the Trinity, we are also Trinity in bracket in that sense. Body, soul, and spirit. They're all tied to each other. So when my body feels hunger, right, my mind immediately will say, what should I go and eat, right? But then now my mind says, no, right? God is my living word. I'm going to focus my attention on God. And then my spirit, as I pray, is in alignment. So whenever I get that urge, so this is like spiritual training, like going to the gym. The more we resist it, the stronger I feel. And it has been so powerful for me. So I'm just adding on to the spiritual discipline part of it, because this is like going to the gym. When you go to the gym, you can do different things, right? You can run and then it works on your cardio. When you do weights, it works on different parts of the body. So in terms of spiritual disciplines, I'll encourage you. Almost half of 2024 is gone already. What can we do to strengthen our spiritual life in the rest of 2024? Okay, so that's number two, study His Word and instill spiritual discipline. Number three is to share testimonies.
Yes, and amen. I'm very passionate about this because testimonies were a part of my own personal verse last year. Revelation 12:11 says, and they overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of testimony. And I think this is very powerful. And for most, if not all of us here, God has given us our own story, experiences, the highs and the lows also. And I think we sit here going through different things, even on Mother's Day, as we face things as a family and as individuals. And when we're talking about spending time together, I think this is really important for when we do this in our own family, to share with one another. That's another point, as different life seasons happen for all of us, you know, for my mom and for me also, to know that there are things that we talk about at home and talking about the things that we've gone through, to really point out the fact that God's goodness is in each one of our lives. Just as we want to do many things for the church and we want to do many things in the world that's out there, actually there are other people who are also with us, who are in our own homes, that we can encourage also. I think let's just talk about God's goodness that is in our lives.
Yeah, so as we spend time in the family, sometimes we take spending time in community in the family for granted. But those can be very precious moments of building faith, of overcoming the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of testimonies. So as we share about what God is doing in our lives every single day, it could be through simple things, we are actually overcoming the enemy. So let's not allow devices to get in the way during meal times. Right? And focus on each other. Find out what God is doing in one another's life. That can also build faith in one another. So, we are already like plus 1 minute. Okay, so we need to summarize. Okay, so just to recap. Okay, how can we choose to serve with joy? Okay, there are three points I just want to highlight. Okay, number one. Okay, we are created in His grand story. And His grand story has a theme. What is the theme? Reconciliation. We are called to reconcile. We are called to restore. What can we do to restore God's wonderful design wherever God has placed us? Whether is it at work, whether it's in our family. Okay. And second point, we can choose to be part of the restorative work of Christ and represent Him well wherever He has placed us. Okay, as I mentioned, whether it's in family or at work. Third point, we can do all this by seeking Him, by studying His word, and sharing testimonies. Okay, yeah, amen. So, can I invite us to close our eyes and allow the Holy Spirit to prompt us to have a time for the Holy Spirit to minister to each one of us. Thank you, Father God. Is there something this afternoon, as Nicole and I were sharing, that Holy Spirit is prompting you? I invite you to just pause. What is God poking your heart and mind this afternoon? Is there something in your spiritual walk that can be sharpened? Is there something that God has placed in your heart for some time to serve Him, but for whatever reason, you have not taken that step? Maybe this afternoon, the Holy Spirit is asking you once again to step out. Go and serve. I will equip you. Since today is Mother's Day, I want to bless the mothers. And after I've prayed, Nicole will close us in prayer. Some of us mothers, maybe we don't feel too happy today on Mother's Day. Maybe some of us are grandmothers, and we don't have that good a relationship with our children or grandchildren. And sometimes we put up a front, Happy Mother's Day, and we just say Happy Mother's Day, but in our heart, we feel like pain. That's anxiety in our heart. Or even guilt, that maybe I didn't do well enough as a mother. Therefore, my children are turning out this way. This is why my child is turning away from God, sliding away from God. No matter what I say, they're not listening. And today, God wants to just minister to you, that you don't have to pretend that God is mothering with us. God will give you strength and wisdom. Some of us are biological mothers. Some of us could be legal mothers, could be a stepmom, could be an adoptive mom, could be a foster mom. Some of us could be spiritual moms. You might be a single, but God has given you this burden of nurturing the next generation. You are a spiritual mom. And today, God wants to celebrate you and honor you for being willing to serve Him, that you chose to serve God, to take up this important task of mothering, that is showing the world, showing the family what love, what Christ's love can be like, that you represent the church in a Christian marriage. So Father, I thank you, Lord, for all my sisters, whether they are biological mothers, they have their own children, whether they are legal moms, stepmoms, adoptive moms, foster moms, and whether they are spiritual mothers, so important in the body of Christ. I just bless all my sisters in the name of Jesus, that Lord, you have given us this power to raise life, for us to nurture life. Yes, men can nurture life. They nurture life differently from us women. So Father, help all of us to be able to be a good steward of this gift that you have given us, to mother, to nurture life, to be part of this restorative theme in your grand story. Give us wisdom and strength to be able to raise life well for your glory. In Jesus' name.
Lord, I stand in front of you, and I stand in front of all the parents here. As a child, I'm sorry. And I symbolically do that for those of you who have children. I'm sorry for the times where I didn't listen to you, for the times where I put on my headphones when you were trying to talk to me. I'm sorry for looking away and looking down when you wanted my attention, and that's all you needed, a few moments, but I did not listen. Lord, we repent, and I repent of not being a child who honors my parents and my mom. And symbolically, as a child, I just want to bless all the moms that are in this place. Thank you, Lord, for the authority and the position that you've put them in, that they are used by you mightily. I know, Holy Spirit, that you are with each one of the moms in this church as they go home, wherever you send them in the workplaces to. I thank you, and I know that you are blessing each one of them right where they are. And as they go forth, I just bless everyone who's in this place. Lord, I know that your goodness is over them. And we just commit this whole time into your hands. We love you, Jesus. And in your name, we pray.
Amen. 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 Thank you so much for having us this afternoon. God bless all of you.